July 20, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we're going to study from Psalm 68. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Those who melt before the fire implies those people who are deceived by the wrong spirit. A good example is the communists who are atheists. The result of expelling God from their life was destruction, because that creates other spirits to enter into them. Decades ago, there was a tragedy in Japan where a group of young communists locked themselves up in a place protesting the government something, and eventually they ended up torturing and killing each other. That was a bizarre and terrible incident. And they might have believed in what they're doing, but they all melted away like a wax. Verse 3 and 4. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rises on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. I myself go through some challenging times too, but I do not get depressed nor lose joy. If you come before him, righteous will always have rejoicing heart. Verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Fatherless means those who do not have a father, but it also means people who do not have father on this earth, which is a good thing, because the Bible says, do not call anyone on earth father, or for you have one father. So the Catholics do not follow this teaching because they worship the priest and the pope calling them father. They just do not follow the Bible at all. That's why they're deceived. And since the Pope said God is pleased with Buddhists and Hindus, and Mother Teresa accepted the view, and then so she was recorded saying that she felt God was so distant and indifferent from what she thought he was. So we ought to live like a fatherless because we do not have the real father on earth. Live also as a widow because our real husband, the real provider and the protector and defender, is not here on earth. If you follow the Bible, you might get persecuted, but you will receive the real reward from heaven. And as for my life, I used to go to this church where they had an apostle and everyone was blindly following him no matter what. And I was not trying to be rebellious. I was actually obedient and I dedicated a lot of my time for helping. But there were certain things that I could not agree with, and eventually it became very uncomfortable for me to stay there, and I ended up being kicked out. But that forced me to pursue the work that I do now. So, not looking for a father on this earth, but seeking Heavenly Father and his guidance was the right thing to do. And as for a defender of widows, let's look at Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge your own elect who cry day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? this his own elect on verse 7 is talking about the Christians and the great tribulation and the judgment which people receive when the Christ returns. This is about the Christians who start believing that God is not here to save and then leaving faith during the tribulation era. There will be persecutions, and that's why we have this story of a widow and unjust judge. And Jesus already told us to pray to God day and night during the tribulation, which will only last for 3.5 years. And Jesus says the righteous elect of God will see justice when we cry out to Him. The sad part of this is, as the Bible says, many Christians may give up when they face persecutions. When reading about the end time, there is a bit of hinting here and a bit of information there, and then some might find it difficult to understand the whole picture, but if you really dig into it, you will see that it will last only for 3.5 years, and God's justice will prevail. The Bible mentions that in many places. Verse 6, God sets the solitary in families. This is about a person who does not have a family, but God will invite those to the family of God, which is the church. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. Those who are bound in Babylon and Assyria will also be guided out of their deceived way of life. But the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Dry land indicates absence of the Holy Spirit, so they will not be guided by the Spirit. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself is moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. Rain means blessing from God. We were all in a dry land before, but we were guided out of that place, and we are now blessed to receive the Holy Spirit in us. That's why we serve God. So continue to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 and 12. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaim it. Kings of armies flee. They flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. The important thing is to remain in faith, since some people will flee from the faith. It happened to Jesus too. He never turned people away, but people flee and left him when things got hot. The 12 apostles and the only one who remained till the end. The 12 apostles are the only one who remained till the end. Jesus did not even kick out Judas, although Jesus said to him that Judas is betraying the Son of Man with a kiss. But Jesus never turned him away, but it was Judas who left Jesus. So to remain in God is the most important thing. Verse 13 to 18. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan, a mountain of many peaks in the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai and the holy place. You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Verse 18 is also referenced in Ephesians 4:7. Let's look at the section. This section talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to man. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended it into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended it is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It says that Christ first descended to the lower place, then ascended to the highest place, and from there he has given us the gift. It's like I used to have a friend from the church that I used to go, and then my friend went to Australia, and then he came back from Australia and gave me a souvenir from there. Some little things that which I no longer have, I've lost it. But I've never been to Australia, but since he went there, he was able to give it to me. So the concept is the same. We've never been to heaven, but Jesus has ascended to heaven, so he can bring back what's in heaven and give those gifts to us. And that's what it means. So praying in tongue, prophecy and healing, and they're all gifts of God from heaven. Since he brought them back, we need to receive them. And there are people who dispute and argue those things and then complain about what we do here with the gift. But it should be all simple, because it says in the Bible, in the 1 Corinthians, that we should all desire the greater gift, especially that you may prophesy, it says. It says in the 1 Corinthians 14:1. So when people don't agree with what we do, I don't want to waste our time arguing it. Just do it. I have been doing what I do at this church for over 10 years, and we cannot do what we do without the gift of prophecy. All the important things are all revealed to me through the prophecy. So everything we do here, including publishing a book on King David, or teaching and newsletters and translations, it's all led by the spirit of prophecy. So those who argue are just being all intellectual, and they are not using any gifts that are available to us, and we should not be so. Many people think that we need manpower to run a church, but I think that you need God's guidance, not people's guidance. You need the gift of prophecy. Those who try to figure things out with your intellect, they will stumble. But those who follow the Spirit of God will do the work of God, which is beyond our human capacity. As the Lord says, those who do my word is like a man who builds his house on the rock. Going back to the Psalm, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. God carries our loads, it says. In other parts of the Bible too, it says to cast the burden upon the Lord. Verse 20, our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Escaping from death is one of the most important things in Christian life. Jesus also says, if you gain the whole world but lose life, what benefit is there? I'm sure gaining the whole world is not an easy task. Napoleon and Alexander the Great tried to do it, but obtaining the eternal life is not easy either. The Bible says the path is narrow and the only few will find it. But wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it. But as the verse says, this becomes possible not because of us, but because of God. So even if we don't understand where you stand, if you just seek God, God will guide you out of your difficult spot and will lead you to the path he said he has for you. And the most important thing is, and I say this over and over again, to strengthen the presence of the Holy Spirit in prayer. So you have to spend time in your prayer closet. You cannot just know God in your intellect. You have to know it, and you have to be part, it has to be part of you. Like when you play piano or play any sports, you cannot just know it intellectually. You have to do it in order to understand it and in order to get better at it. Same thing with prayer. Over the years, I made a habit of praying in the morning, and when I don't do it, it feels weird. I hear from other people that they have a hard time praying daily, and I understand that because I used to struggle with it. But you have to make an effort to make it as a habit. The other day I had some business to take care of in Tokyo, so I left home early in the morning without praying. So when I was done with my business, I thought of walking back to Shinjuku by doing a prayer walk from where I was. It only takes 10 minutes by train, but if you walk, it takes like 2 hours. So I enjoyed the prayer walk that day on the way home. Prayer becomes part of my life, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So if you make yourself available, He will train you and strengthen you in prayer. But God will wound the head of His enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God was commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us because of your temple at Jerusalem. Kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with prices of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth, or sing praises to the Lord, to Him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, He sends out His voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and His strength is in the clouds. So He comes in the clouds. This is about the second coming. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is He who gives strength and power to His people. Blessed be God.